Hi, welcome to True Creeps, where the stories are true and the creeps are real. We'll cover stories from grotesque gore to the possibly plausible paranormal, to horrifying history, to tense and terrible true crime, and everything else that goes bump in the night. We're your hosts, Amanda,
and I'm Lindsay, and we want you to join us while we creep.
We cover mature topics. Listener discretion is advised. Hello, everyone. Today, we are going to be talking about our second investigation from when we were in St. Augustine, and we're going to talk about where we went in just a couple minutes. But first, we want to say that this episode is going to be a little different than our typical investigation episodes, because this investigation was different from our other investigations. And so this is going to be more of a discussion, and we're going to throw some things in here and there and other people's takes here and there. But it's going to be more discussion-based. And at the end, we're going to ask your opinion on it and what you think about discussions versus investigations that are very, very planned out.
Yeah.
As far as the episode goes, not the investigation. We're crazy.
Yeah. We're learning. Each time we do an investigation, we're learning from that on, you know, how do we want to record content? What type of tools do we want to use? What do we want to determine at the beginning versus what do we want to keep loose and all of those things. So as we go, our investigations will always be evolving. When you keep doing something, you get better at it. But in terms of how we present it, we are looking for feedback. And also, if you have questions at the end of the episode where you're like, you touched on this, but I just need to know more. Mm-hmm. You know us. We love to chat. So reach out to us in all of the ways. We have everything on our outro at the end.
We also want to touch on the tools. I know you've heard some of this before, but just so any newbies know exactly what we used.
It'll be quick, I promise.
This is going to be kind of a just quick overview of what tools we brought, because there were so many of them and they're going to come up quite a bit in our stories. So you may have already heard some of this, but we're adding to our collection every time we go somewhere, it seems.
Yeah.
So the first tools we brought were EMF readers. EMF stands for electromagnetic field, so that's exactly what they're reading. It's believed that ghosts can also cause a reading on these devices, so that's why it's used for ghost hunting. And the tricky part is keeping them away from any electronics that you may have or anything that has electricity flowing through it, because that will definitely set them off as well and give you an incorrect reading.
Especially because that's also what they're for, is to measure electricity. So it makes sense that you would not want to accidentally use them for their given purpose.
Yes. Yes. They're much easier when you're in very old places with no electricity. Mm-hmm. The next tool we used were voice recorders. Pretty much the same as the name. It records voices. Sometimes you may get a voice that may not have been one of the living people in the room with you. And we used a couple different ones. I think we had two.
Yeah. We spread them around the place.
Yeah. And then the next item is a new item that we bought while in St. Augustine, and that's the Poltertune. And it's a music box that goes off when it detects movements. So it's very nice because not only do you hear it when it plays, but it has lights that go off too. So it's a great tool that you could leave in like another room because you can hear it go off as well as see it if it's a dark room.
Yes.
And we'll play a little clip of it as well.
Yes.
One.
So our other tool, which is also a newer tool, is the Polterscript. It works very similar to an ovilus. It converts environmental energy and it changes it into words, letters, and numbers. You can both hear and see what the device says, and it continues to show the last three words. Whenever we play clips and you hear the Polterscript talk, we'll then have a voice that's not mine or Amanda's, so that you know definitively what it's saying, because we know what it says because it's shown on the screen. When we've done this in the past, we've used like an AI voice to assist, because otherwise you hear my and Amanda's voices. And if we cut in again, it's just kind of confusing. So before we used Ursula, she was in our Lighthouse episode.
Right.
So we also use a Necrophonic app, which is an app on your phone that does work like a spirit box. It doesn't ask for permissions, so it shouldn't be able to see what you're watching or hearing. And when we use it, it's on airplane mode. So this way it can't be milling about in the internet. It has 8 sound banks, and the audio is made up of phonemes, which are partial words, reverse audio, foreign languages, and other parts of speech to help with communication. So it works pretty similar to a spirit box, It allows the spirits to communicate by using words and sounds, but they have to use this bank, the sound bank, to build it. So like that's the tools they have, is just what's in there.
Right.
It sounds very creepy when you're using it, but it is a great tool.
It really does.
And I will point out as well that one of the very interesting things about it is that, one, when this voice come through, they come out spatially. Sometimes it will sound like someone is like behind you to the left. Sometimes it will sound like someone is like moving around you. You'll be able to hear inflection, volume changes. So sometimes it's a whisper and sometimes it's a shout. I didn't expect that part.
That and the multiple voices at the same time where like multiple people are trying to talk. It's very hard to concentrate.
Yeah. Then we also use the Necrometer, which is another app, and it's made by the same creator as Necrophonic. So same things. We're going to keep it on airplane mode. It's not asking for permissions in that same way. So it does a few different things. But one of the things is it detects EMF changes and the fluctuations of energy of the energy field and connects it with words. Again, we thought that this was strange, too. We're inherently a little bit skeptical of tools before we use them. But if you could have an EMF reader on your phone, we see no reason why you couldn't have it in this app. And then also as a note, this particular app works similar to an Ovilus where it shows words and it has a 60,000 word bank as of recording. That's what it is. It might go up in the future.
Yeah. We also brought various cameras. We obviously had our phone cameras. And then I had also bought a thermal cam that hooks onto your phone. So I was able to take videos and pictures with that as well. And then I brought a video camera, but mysteriously, the battery was drained, even though I had charged it. So we did not get to use it. We brought cat toy balls, which are like what you'd buy your cat to play with, except when they hit it or when it's hit, it lights up. So it has colorful lights and they blink. So it's super easy to see in the dark. And it's great to leave it around a room and see if they move when you're not in the room. We also, for science, always walk by it a couple times because especially in like older buildings, the floor creaks and moves a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to be the ones that moved it. So we do test it first. We also brought a laser grid, and it's literally a green laser grid that you can put up on a wall. And it looks like it's a flashlight, but instead of having light, it's a grid. It allows you to see disturbances in the grid pattern fairly easily. So if someone walks by, it definitely stands out. Or if someone doesn't walk by, but it catches your eye, it might be something else walking by. So it's just a handy tool to be able to see your environment a little bit better and easier, I would say.
Yeah.
And if you play Phasmophobia, you know this as a Dots ghost. And lastly, we had a REM pod. And it's another fancy EMF reader. It has an antenna, so it helps detect any changes within a 360-degree radius. And this particular model that we brought also has different sensitivity levels. It does have the option to detect significant drops in temperature, too. So it has a couple different things it can do. And when it's activated or touched or something goes near the antenna, it lights up and it makes a pretty loud sound.
It does. It really does. It's startling, even, one might say.
It is. Yeah.
So now that we've told you about our tools, now we're going to tell you about where we were. We were at a place called the Treasure Chest, which is in the historic downtown area of St. Augustine. One of the people who we sometimes investigate with, Enika, arranged with the person who runs the tours and activities there, Scott York, for us to investigate. Now, the Treasure Chest runs educational activities for kids, primarily on school trips. And from our understanding, they also run ghost tours in the evening as well. The building itself that we were in for most of the night was built in 1878, and it's pretty sparse. There is another building. The one in the back has a bathroom, and then there's an Airbnb on the other side. The building that we were in is essentially just one big room.
Yeah.
There's some furniture around, but it's mostly stuff for the activities for children based on the different time periods that they're going to talk about with St. Augustine's history. So you'll see some old tools. They also had a Menorcan like box that we looked at one point. There was also murals on the walls and things like that. But it wasn't as though there was a ton of stuff in the room. It's mostly on the perimeter, if you will.
Yeah, yeah. Just so a huge class could go in and fit comfortably.
Exactly. So we're going to get into our initial impressions. Amanda and I are going to start with ours, and then we're going to play the audio of Lexi and Ben, as always. So, Amanda, what were your initial impressions?
So we went there earlier in the day, the evening that we investigated. So we were there during the day, and then we came back in the evening. And I will say, when I walked in, I was just like, I don't know, didn't have any negative feelings in the building or anything even that caught my attention, to be honest. But when we walked, like we did kind of a walk around of the building, in between that and there's a coffee shop next door where you can walk in the back where Lindsay said the bathroom and the Airbnb is. That's the area where I did not like the feeling of. And even during the day, I'm like, I hate it over here, especially right in front of the bathroom area. There's like a little walkway between this building that we investigated and the bathroom. It's like very tiny. But that area, I think I was walking next to you or maybe Ben, and I was like, oh, I hate whatever it is right there. Like there's just some sort of feeling that I detest.
Yes.
And it's right here and I don't know what it is. And it's middle of the day and I hate it.
Yeah, it wasn't as though it was like dark and spooky. It was just a place in the day.
Yeah, but like inside the building felt fine. Like it was, there's like kids' toys everywhere. And we were like tired from walking around and doing the tour. So I was more just like excited to sit.
What about you?
Yes. So I also got bad vibes from that, the bathroom area. So much so that at one point I'm like, I'm going to put a voice recorder in there later in the night. And I'm like, everyone, there's a voice recorder in the bathroom. So maybe pick it up and sit it next to the sink.
Or turn it off.
You know, like, or, you know, put it outside while you're in there. Yeah, do what you do.
Yeah.
And I think I was like, please don't turn it off. Just move it out of, like, the room so that, like, this way we don't accidentally, like, miss audio. But weird vibes from the back. Originally, I didn't really have much of a feeling of anything inside. But as our investigation began, these are the notes that I have. You ready? It's quiet outside. The mood at the start is kind of somber slash awkward. Like if I was a kid, I wouldn't want to play here.
Mm.
Yeah, just like an interesting vibe, considering like what we thought we might be interacting with and what the space was for. I was, I don't want to say uncomfortable, but I felt discomfort. It just felt kind of off. Maybe that's the way to describe it.
Okay. At night, not during the day.
At all times. It always felt kind of off to me.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Yeah. It didn't feel like I was having like, oh my gosh, gut feelings. Everything's wrong here. It was just like something was amiss, if you will.
Okay. That's fair.
Before we get into our initial impressions, we're going to just have the intros of everybody that was with us on the investigation. You may have heard these before. We'll also list social media handles in our show notes. But the first was Lexi. We originally met her when we went to Villisca. We did meet her physically at the Villisca house, although we had chatted with her before then. She actually also just released her first book last month, and it's called Colonial Park Cemetery, and she's got more on the way, and we're so excited, and we're so proud of her. We've posted it at least once on our social media. We'll probably post it more, and we're probably going to do a little something with her on that at a later date. One of the people that we went with was Ineka, who we also went to Villisca with. They actually coordinated this investigation, so thank you, Ineka. They run tours for, I believe, historical and ghost tours out of Savannah, Georgia. And they also have an excellent TikTok and Instagram game. So we'll put all that in the show notes. And then last but not least is my husband, Ben. I wrote his introduction, so he doesn't know what's in here. Will he ever know? Who could say? But so he's the ultimate cat dad, and he's a rugby coach for the Baltimore Flamingos feral side, which he is very proud of. And I'm very proud of him. And I put a long time not listener, not first time caller, because you've heard his voice on here before. But it was Amanda and I plus Lexi, Ben and Ineka. We have impressions from Lexi and Ben. So we're going to play Lexi's impression now. Just as a note, she gave impressions about the whole evening. So if you notice that when we play her clips, it seems like she's starting out of nowhere. It's because we've broken it up.
For the treasure chest building, so first impressions when we got there, you could definitely feel that there was, you know, energy there. It didn't necessarily feel dark or good, but it just felt present. It was me like, okay, this night is probably going to be very interesting. But it, you know, didn't feel like it was going to go one way or another in terms of good or bad, you know, lighthouse versus four, as we had already previously experienced on this trip. I remember the first time I went out to the bathroom, because you had to go outside and then go through another door to get to the bathroom. I remember not liking that, but I kind of like brushed it off to myself. Like now, like it's just because you're walking, you know, outside and it's dark. And he had warned us that there was somebody that was homeless that slept around there. So I was just kind of like, again, with being on like alert in the park when we were playing hide and seek, you know, with the girls from the lighthouse, it was kind of like, there's strangers around here, you don't know them, that kind of thing. So I just kind of like brushed my feelings of like not liking it out there away, because I was by myself, it was dark, there might be, you know, a stranger I don't know lurking around. So I just kind of brushed it off as that. We were preparing to do the investigation. And I think this was around the same time that like I was getting ready to go to the bathroom, because I had my crystals tucked in the pocket of my leggings. And I went to take them out to go to the bathroom because I was like, oh, these are just going to fall out of my pocket anyway. And Lindsay being like, don't do that. And she was like, don't, I don't want you to do that. Like, keep those. It's like, okay, I mean, I'm going to take them out of my pocket anyway when I go into the bathroom, but like, sure, I will keep them like in my hand, like on my person. That's fine. So obviously Lindsay was maybe catching something that wasn't, you know, quite apparent to all of us yet. But again, I kind of brushed it off, should learn not to do that.
And then here's Ben.
All right. So talking about my initial feelings about the treasure chest when we visited there, I didn't know what to expect. I wasn't sure exactly what kind of a place it was that we were visiting. So when we got there, I was a little surprised to see that it was a single room building. And I didn't feel any sort of weird, creepy, strange, or negative vibes on the start of our evening. When we were in there, as the night got later and time progressed, that did shift a bit. So when I initially didn't feel any presence per se, or anything odd or out of place or uncomfortable, I will say that as the night went on, I did feel like it took more of a dark or a spookier turn.
So in many of the investigations that we've talked about in our past episodes, we were going to a place that was notoriously haunted, if you will. So there have been lots of investigations. There was a general sense of like what was going on or who might be there. And there was a narrative of kind of like that we were either confirming or considering or open to. And this was very different because that wasn't happening there. There's only been a few paranormal investigations there, and the activities vary widely. And the theories of what might be going on there also vary widely, to the point where it's like, is there even a cohesive story here? So some think that there's a spirit of a 12-year-old girl there, possibly named Lily, and that she died in 1820 from a fever. And this is from other investigations, but the other reason that they think it might be a child specifically is because they'll come in and some of the toys will be moved. When they close up at the end of the night, they put all the toys away, especially things like marbles, where like if you walk on them, you could, you know, fall like a cartoon. The things that they see moved are the hoop and stick and the marbles. Throughout the night during our investigation, we asked the entities that we were talking to if they wanted to play with any of the toys, like the marbles, but we didn't really see any movement.
No, and we even used some old school marbles. I think they were like made of wood or something, and nothing.
So the other theory, which from what we understand is what at least one of the women who works on the tour believes, and she thinks that there might be a spirit of a man who used to hurt children there. And then separately, there's another theory that perhaps the entity that some people have communicated with or that has been moving things is the spirit of a man who had been working on the roof of that back building. And unfortunately, he fell from that roof and he eventually died from the injuries he sustained in that fall. And we don't have the names for either of the two men, although we heard plenty of names while we were there. We just don't know if they were associated with either of those men.
So before we went, we had also done our own research into this particular parcel as to what families may have owned it. And just to get a general sense of who might be there, who we may talk to, and who might have been tied to the property for any reason.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, we really didn't have any encounters that seemed to match any of the people that historically would have been connected to the parcel, which is interesting.
Yeah, I had originally gone through and did property research, and I was able to find familial type of histories with that. And then I passed that information over to Lexi, who did like complex genealogical research on these people and learned a lot. So we had a good sense of these people and like the timelines of their life and that kind of stuff.
it wasn't as though we were like, oh, it's just a name. We had more than that.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. And like we know with other haunted places, just because someone passed there or in that area doesn't mean that that's where they'll stay. People can sometimes bring things into places and they like the vibe and they decide to stay or they take them away. So it could be a grab bag of anyone, really, whenever you go to a haunted location.
Exactly.
At least in our theories and thoughts. So this investigation, I'd say, is different than any of the other ones I've done in the past or that I've done with you before.
Mm-hmm. Or any that I've ever heard of, even.
Yeah, it was the best way we could describe it was kind of chaotic. It seems like we were talking to different entities throughout the night and that mid-conversation, we would end up speaking to someone else. So you'd like start getting somewhere and then everything would change and it would sound completely different. And even like not necessarily a voice, because some of the tools we were using is just like a standard monotone voice. But the way that they were responding was much different than like whatever we were talking to before.
Even the cadence, like how fast you would get a response.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. So it was very bizarre because there was so much going on. And one of the super difficult things about investigating in a place like St. Augustine is that given the age of the city, the atrocities, the limestone, everything, it's possible the entities have had no relation to the given property, but maybe hanging out there. Kind of like what I said before, mm-hmm. like it could be anything. It's also worth pointing out that it's completely possible that the entities that were nearby were curious as to what we were doing. Like, oh, hey, mm-hmm. they understand us. Perhaps we can chat with them as well.
One of the things that Ben was saying, he was talking about like paranormal investigations and likening them to like fishing, and that sometimes you go fishing and you just don't get anything. And Amanda and I have always approached our paranormal investigations like we would love to interact. If not, no worries, because they aren't there for our entertainment. I don't think that it necessarily seems less legitimate because we often have experiences. I find it not that surprising, given that we are skeptically open, if you will, mm-hmm. and yeah. that several of the people in our group like describe themselves as sensitive in that way and picking up on those types of things. So if you had a group of people where several of the people are sensitive at the most mild version of that is how one might describe it, to openly skeptical, you might want to talk to that group, especially over a drunken ghost tour, if that's the options, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. And I will say, too, when we first got there, just to kind of paint a picture, I thought there wasn't going to be much going on because it was a very slow start. And I was like, OK, I accept that. Like, not always is this going to happen. And then it started ramping up and then it was the chaotic scene.
From my recollection, like the original conversations we were having were like, are you a child? And we were starting with this angle of an idea of who we were talking to. And I think it's when we backed off from that, that we really started to have more responses. And I do think that as we continue to do investigations, to be like, do we want to make sure that when we start, we're starting in this complete blank slate of like, hello, who's there? Versus, hey, we heard your name is this. Is that who we're talking to? We heard that you were doing this action. Is that you? Because we never know how many entities may or may not be there.
Exactly. And like we mentioned several times, we did not get a sense of one particular entity, but several notable experiences. And between all of our tools throughout the night, we got a ton of names thrown out there. And none of these names historically are associated with this particular building.
Not that we were aware of.
So just a couple names to throw out there. It said Harriet, Patrick, Emma, Emily, Kathleen, Zane, Jeffrey, Jean, which is interesting because that's my middle name. It'll make sense later. Tom, Virginia, which could be a name or possibly a state. It really likes state.
Loves a state.
And then another one that was kind of weird, it said Chase. And then a couple hours later, it said Chase is watching. It was like the second to last thing that I got. We're going to talk about the last name that we got later, but kind of creepy.
Yeah, yeah. Just as a note, this is not a comprehensive list of every name that was uttered. This is just some of them because we were using many tools and often they were going off simultaneously. So I might have a record of like what's on the Poltergeist because I had a camera pointed at it. If another person had something else, they might not have that. or the Polterscript doesn't record it. So say I was doing something else and somebody else was holding the Polterscript, I don't have a video of just what was on there.
Yeah, yeah, unless they yelled it out during one of our videos.
Exactly, exactly.
So we also did a couple Esty sessions while we were there, but this time we really wanted to make sure that the person doing the Esty's method could not hear anyone.
Mm-hmm.
So we banished them to the outside. They went outside and the rest of us would ask questions and then we'd kind of switch around. So the person outside would not be influenced and have no way of hearing what questions were being asked.
Yeah, exactly. When I was watching and typing what people were saying, I was like eagle eye on that person, watching what they were doing and how they were responding and like taking notes on that. Because one, I find that generally fascinating. But two, when you are the person who is listening for the Necrophonic app, in such an intense way, there is sensory overload. I do not think that people necessarily understand what they're doing with their bodies, and their emotions are very just, it's an unmasked experience. You are truly just like in that moment trying to listen, and you're not thinking about your face. You can understand a lot about what that person is experiencing and what they're hearing based on the way that they're reacting. So there's one point where I started feeling this intense pressure, this heaviness. And at the same time, Ben starts scratching all over, like he gets real itchy. And I was like, oh, that's interesting, because how people experience different things is also going to feel different in the body. So I was super aware of how I was feeling and I was interpreting like certain data input for myself and how the people who were responding were. That was one of my favorite things the entire night, was that experience. We also have videos of the full Esty sessions, which I really like. That video is just them responding.
Yeah.
And you can see their faces.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So let me explain exactly how we did this. Lexi was the first one to volunteer to do it. And she was outside. She put headphones on. She was totally blind to what was happening inside. Meanwhile, like Lindsay said, she was not only watching what was happening, like with their body language, but also texting us what the replies were. So Lindsay was texting Ben, who was inside with us, and including things like inflection and anything that was standing out as to how Lexi voiced the response. There's also a live stream, and we do have video from the outside perspective too. So we were able to cross-reference all of the videos together afterwards so that we could like see the whole Esty's method on both sides play out. And interestingly too, before any questions were even said inside, right? Like we were kind of sitting, just getting ready to like start the session. Lexi, who was outside, heard, "Hello, Scott." And Scott was the person who allowed us to do the investigation in this building.
And he was present. Also, that's a good point to note.
Yeah, he was inside with us and he stayed inside for the most part. And now we have a clip from Lexi about the Esty's method.
So then that night, because of the end of it, is still, and I haven't gone through all of my videos and recordings and everybody else's videos and stuff yet to really cement in the details. But from what I remember, we decided to do an Esty's method because things were a little slow. It was like, oh, do you want to play with these toys? Do you want to say something into the Polterscript? Do you want to, you know, make the music box go off? And things were very slow. Again, it felt like there was an energy, but it didn't feel like it wanted to interact, maybe. So we were like, okay, what if the person doing the Esty's method went like completely outside, like sat in that little teeny like walkway between the door to the treasure chest and the door to the bathroom? That way, like, we would know, like, even, you know, we use the soundproof headphones anyway, but like, we would know that there was no potential like cross contamination, hearing somebody, whatever. And I had already volunteered to do the Esty's method, but not wanting to go out there by myself, I was like, oh, I don't know, I'm going out there. So Lindsay came with me, especially when she was going to text what I got to y'all so you would know what, you know, the answers were to your questions. And again, like I said before, I had brushed off my feelings of how I felt out in that area because of being out there alone and it was dark and potential stranger, you know, on and on and on. And I was, so this time I was like, okay, Lindsay's going to be out here with me. It's fine.
As we discuss the Esty sessions, we are not going to go through every question and response, but we are going to cover some highlights and our impressions. So pretty soon in Lexi's Esty session, she said, it sounded like it made a sound just to like startle me and to like make her do a jump scare. And the longer she did it, the more she looked unnerved. There was a clear increase. And so I think that's one of the things that I, again, really liked about being in a separate space was that I could look at her and note the fact that right now that startle sound happened versus in the mix of all of us, we may have missed that. When she was finished, I asked her whether it seemed like she was hearing from multiple entities, children, or whether it seemed like something was trying to confuse her. And she said that by the end of it, it sounded like something was trying to confuse her. Lexi also described that when she was listening, she often heard voices all around her. So earlier I mentioned that you sometimes hear on the Necrophonic app things spatially, like she heard things spatially. Here are Lexi's thoughts about her Estee session.
But even still, I was like, I don't like sitting out here. I don't like it out here. This is very, I didn't like it. There was a dark, out there, and listening to some of the answers that came over the headphones, I just didn't like it. And I think Lindsay even said that like my body language was just like off, didn't like it. So eventually I was just like, okay, I need to tap out for a minute. I don't want to listen to this anymore. I want to go back in. Don't like it out here. So we went back in.
Yeah. Ben was the next listener. And frankly, his responses seemed substantially more dark. And it seemed to be saying what it wanted rather than responding to questions. That was my impression of it. And I did not like it. It was unnerving to watch.
And we should also say, when we had the people go outside to do the Estes method, they were sitting in front of that bathroom, like the area that I was like, that's a no-go zone.
Yeah, I was sitting with my back to that bathroom. I was like, I do not like this.
I didn't even want to go in there.
Mm-hmm. You know? So I did an Estes session at the end. And if you stick around after the credits, you can hear all three Estes sessions in full. We had them edited without the pauses removed, and they are without the questions because it's a nightmare. But it is still an interesting listen because you can hear the cadence of how things are responding and the tone. Because when we say whatever it says, we say it with the inflection and with the volume. So if it whispers, we whisper. And it's particularly unnerving. I think Ben's creeped me out the most. While we were doing the Estes session, Amanda also had her necrometer on her phone and someone was inside with the Poulter script. Without anyone mentioning the name, the necrometer said, Patrick, then Patrick is alive. And it doesn't seem like we ever get any answers on who Patrick is through Estes, the necrometer, or the Poulter script. I was not inside to ever hear about Patrick. So I didn't know who the fuck that was. And when I was watching the questions and like pairing them with the video, that's the first time that I heard, like saw what was going on inside. So there's points where they're like, we feel weird here, or we're talking about this thing that is completely separate to what is happening outside and we have no clue what's going on.
Yeah.
So I'm like, who the fuck is Patrick?
We'll never know. We don't know.
We'll never know.
There's so many names that came up and we even tried. We'd be like, oh, like, tell us about yourself or who is this? And
nah,
it's just like, nah, I'm going to go off on another tangent now and I'm going to tell you about states. We're like, okay, thank you. So not really scary, but just kind of funny. There were a few instances where the devices that we were using would reference things happening around us. So when we were doing Estes, Ben heard horse just as a horse was clomping down the street, like right in front of the building, because all of us could hear it so easily because we were kind of like on that side and see it through the window.
Yes. When I originally transcribed what he said, I thought he said force. So it wasn't until the replay that I could see that he clearly said horse. And then I was like, oh, wait. And then I rewound it because I was like, I think there was a horse right before he said that. And I was like, oh, there was, which just, you know, interesting.
Mm-hmm. That's an intelligent response. Another time, the devices would say traffic, and that would be when cars would drive by.
Yeah.
And like occasionally, because there's like a little parking area in front of the building. So as like bars, restaurants and stuff were closing up, there would be a little bit of traffic too as people were trying to like leave.
And it only ever said it when there was traffic. And it got to the point where I wouldn't think it happened at least three times, but it happened regularly when there was traffic. So it wasn't doing it when it wasn't there, but it was also kind of picking up most instances of when there was more congestion on the street.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, I'm done with this. They don't even like traffic.
Mm-hmm. Fair.
So at one point during the night, my necrometer, it said hidden treasure. And we were like, what does that mean? It also, around that same time, was saying things like 1800s, woman here, just strange, right? And we were like, what could all of this mean?
Mm-hmm.
And Scott was like, actually, I have an old trunk outside that could be interpreted as like a treasure chest, right? Treasure.
Yeah.
And he's like, and I have some questions about it. And we're like, okay. So we all went outside. And his story that he told us was that his grandparents bought it, and it was likely from the Flagler's Hotel. And people would spend the season there, so they would have multiple trunks of their belongings before suitcases and stuff, right?
Mm-hmm. And luggage tags.
And luggage tags.
That's important in a moment.
Because there were no luggage tags, he said that they would have a portrait of themselves inside so that they could differentiate what trunk belonged to whom. There was a portrait of a young woman inside. And our EMF readers went off a lot around the trunk and not when we stepped back. And so we tested the EMF readers against the lights that were strung on the railing, because there's lights all around, right? It's a building with electricity.
Yeah, shock.
And it would give us a response when we were like close to that, but nowhere else. So like, unless there was some sort of electrical line right under that trunk or like around that trunk somehow, I don't know why it was going off. Scott even said like, there's not any electricity under this trunk, or there shouldn't be to his knowledge. So
yeah.
Interesting. At one point, Scott closed the trunk and Lindsay's Poulter script immediately said picture, like the picture inside, right? And then Lindsay's like, hey, Scott, I think they want you to open the trunk back up. And as soon as he did, Lindsay's Poulter script said restored. We asked, like, who is this? What's your name? No names came up around this time that I can remember.
I don't remember there being names. Like, there were names, but it was when the names were said at this time, from my recollection, it was never to the question, what's your name? It's we would ask a separate question and it would say a name.
That's true.
Which doesn't feel as much like an intelligent response.
Yes.
But also, sometimes it really felt like people were hogging the microphone, and like we might ask a question and then get an answer 15 minutes later, but we've gotten like 70 responses since then.
Yeah.
So you can't really pair it together in a way that feels reliable.
It felt like someone, kind of like you said, like had the microphone and then other people were yelling out over.
Mm-hmm.
And that feeling of being in a room full of a bunch of people is kind of how it felt like. As everything was going off, like it was just overwhelming and there was just too much.
Throughout the night, the way that I experienced it, it felt different. There was times when it felt light. There was times when it felt crowded. There was times when it felt heavy and a little sinister, like not as bad as Velisca, but a little sinister. How did you feel like it changed over the night?
Yeah, it seemed like it went up and down, because there were times where I'm like, this is harmless. And then there's times where it kind of got a little Velisca-y.
Mm-hmm.
And we were all like, what the fuck is happening? And upset about it, too. Lexi did a great job of like explaining it. So we'll let her explain that part, too.
Yeah.
Because at one point, everyone's like, I'm done. And I didn't mean to be like bossy in any way, but I'm like, that thing doesn't win again. If for any reason it's that thing or a friend of that thing or the certain same type of that thing, I don't know what it is, but someone was trying to like rile people up. And I was like, no,
mm-hmm.
Absolutely not. You're not scaring us away this time. And I felt very confident in that, too. And it seems like it chilled out after that for a while, at least from mine.
That was not my experience. I felt like it went, okay, and then just kind of sat there for a minute. And it was quiet, but I think it was still there.
That's what I mean. Like, it chilled for a minute as to, like, it wasn't attempting to go after us as much.
Mm-hmm.
It waited a while.
Yeah, yeah.
Before it was pissed off enough to do that. But going back on that, at various points in the evening, we also had some not so great feelings in certain areas.
Mm-hmm.
And during Ben's Estes method, everyone inside, I was inside at this time, had a sense that something was happening in the back of the room. And so we walked over and our EMF reader even went off over there. And I want to say at this point, it's like nothing's in that area but little mats. And there are mm-hmm. these mats that like you could have kids sit on, and they're kind of stacked.
Like gym mats, kind of, but not as thick.
Yeah, yeah. But that obviously has no electricity.
Mm-hmm.
And that wall, we had tested it before, didn't like go off in that area. But it was just weird that it was going off. And I want to say, like, it started saying things directed to Scott. Like, he understood a couple of the things that it was saying. But for sure, the EMF reader was going off. And it was very strange feelings on that side of the room. But only temporarily.
Yes. Yes.
And then, of course, like we said, as they were doing the Estes method outside near that bathroom, the entire night, no matter day or night, I hated it over there. Completely hated it.
Oh, yeah. Bad vibes there all night. All night.
And I know in that back area, that's where that poor man fell. And then he made it through the fall, went to the hospital, I believe, and later died there. But I feel like it wasn't that in my heart. I don't know why. Like a guy falling in a tragic accident, I did not get that vibe. I got someone with very bad intentions out there.
I got predatory vibes.
Yes, yes. And that's interesting because the woman that Scott works with says that there perhaps might be a man in the area who did not so great things to kids and now feels remorseful for it. But I felt no remorse of anything. It was just bad.
I never had a feeling of like guilt or shame or remorse. It was when I had feelings like that, there was no I'm sorry. It was simply monstrous, if you will. That's the vibe that I got.
Yeah.
And it wasn't all the time. But when it was there, it was like, no.
But anyways, yeah, it sucked. Fuck that thing. At one point, I took a picture over there, and it was like a weird ass picture.
The shadows back there that were very strange, they didn't match what was there in the daylight. So we couldn't quite understand like why it looked that way. But we did take a picture the next day to like compare. What are we looking like? What are the could anything we see in the daylight explain these shadows? I don't think they did.
No, we did debunk something else, though. We saw a light as Ben was walking. And I was like, where is this light? I don't remember anything being there. But when we did go during the day, there was like a camera thing there. And you couldn't see it at night. It was just too dark. So we did try to like be like, this is not real. This makes sense. That we couldn't explain. But during the night, too, we also had several situations where whatever we were talking to was referencing something else. And it was very specific. Like we understood pretty quick what it was referencing. At one point, it did reference Villisca. We're certain of it.
Yeah, it said things like farm, family. And then a few minutes later, I'm pretty sure it said more.
It did say more. And then mine said axe at one point. I'm looking at my transcript now. So it said axe at one point. It said axe was used. Haunted land. And at one point it said, be quiet and listen.
Very, very specific.
Throughout the night, like we said, it kind of like went back and forth. It would be okay. And then it would get really dark and scary. And then it would be okay. Kind of. We'd still have that icky feeling here and there. But then when we were like thinking perhaps it was the person who worked there had mentioned where it was like a guy who did bad things, right? And we thought maybe it was that. Like mine did say predatory behavior at one point and remorse. And I was like, okay, maybe. But then it just went completely dark.
Yeah. When we were hearing the Villisca references, that was one of the situations where it felt like there were a lot of people talking at once. So it was like interspersed between other things. My experience was that it felt like there was lots of different energies there and it was chaotic and fighting over the mic, like kind of deal. That's very much how I perceived it. It did not feel like a wholly sinister moment when that happened.
Right. Agreed. But I know, I think you said this like had a look on your face. And then I was like, oh, it's doing it again where it's talking about Villisca. And I think at that point, too, mine, like before it was fully into it, mine had said opening the portal.
Yes.
And then that's when the Villisca talk started. And we were like, oh, that thing better not be here because I'll fight it this time.
And one of the things that we really considered when we were doing this was we're hearing these references. My initial thought at the time was, how does it know to bring this up? And then on rewatch, I saw how much we talked about Villisca before it ever seemed to bring it up. And I wondered if whatever we were talking to figured out a pressure point and knew enough about, you know, whatever. But I remember when I was rewatching things, I was like, you know what? In the future, we need to make sure that we don't reference our other investigations that clearly and that specifically. And maybe we have code words that we use very purposefully, so that we're not perhaps adding something to the mix that wasn't there before. It didn't occur to me that that would happen, especially because we had a certain, we just didn't have any idea of what we were going to encounter. I didn't think that would be weaponized, I guess is the only way I can think to describe it.
Yeah.
Because it didn't feel like it was casually bringing it up.
I agree. Yeah. And we have a clip from Lexi about this as well.
I just remember the clear feeling of like things were going again downhill, not as quickly, just a little bit more slowly, a little bit more methodically, maybe like something was kind of picking at the nerves and trying to see. I had likened it to throwing the spaghetti at the wall to see what would stick because of the things that were coming over the box. And I remember there were some things coming over the Poulter script that were like blood, murder, axe. And I remember kind of like looking at Lindsay because we were sitting next to each other because we're like cold twins. Like we always feel like the cold, like energy. And we always like kind of verify each other's like feeling the coldness. We were sitting next to each other. I kind of looked at her and I don't remember what she said, or maybe if I said something first, but I was like, don't think it because I'm already thinking it. And she was like, I've already been thinking it most of the evening with some of the things that were coming over the Poulter script. And I was just like, great. Okay. That's happening. But kind of like, don't think about it. It's not that. There's no way that it can be that. But there was a point where I was like, I need to kind of sit. There was that bench along the wall. It's like, I just want to sit up here and just kind of like tap out for a minute. Just observe. I don't want to be asking questions maybe necessarily, or just kind of like take it easy, take a back seat for a minute because things were starting to get overwhelming. And then I don't think I heard it come over the Poulter script, but I heard you all freaking out about the Poulter script. And I was like, what? What did it say? You guys were like the Moores family. And I instant panicked because it was that same dark feeling and it had been slowly devolving. And now we're talking about axe and murder and blood and more family. It's back to Velisca. And so I start to instantly panic. I was like, okay, I'm done. I want to go. It just, the anxiety took over. I wasn't hiding it anymore. I was like, I'm done. We got to go. Like, I don't like this. I don't, if this is the same thing, I don't want to mess with it again. We got to go. Or at the very least, I was not prepared to mess with it again because I know we have talked about going back to Velisca. But regardless, was not prepared in that state. I thought we were just going to come and talk to, you know, they thought maybe a little girl was haunting the building, or they thought maybe this older man who had fallen off the roof was haunting the building. And now it's like potentially this thing that's like linked to Velisca. And I was just like, no, I don't like this. And I remember Amanda specifically being like, no. We're not going to be scared. We're not going to let it run us out. We're not going to keep, you know, letting it or whatever these things are, if they're separate being, you know, whatever. This isn't going to, you know, run us off again. Like, we're not. And it wasn't, you know, mean or like malicious. I didn't take it as her being like, no, sit down or anything like that. But I was just kind of like, okay, that was the calming presence that I needed. Okay. I settled back down. I settled back into my seat. Everybody else kind of seemed to have that general, like, yes, we are not running out again. This isn't going to get us again.
And so when we're talking about something like dark and not very kind, I think my impression is it was just trying to get a rise out of us. Like it was trying its best and it was playing with pressure points. Like you kind of said, like, oh, Velisca was one that kind of freaked them out. I'm going to do that. And then now that we're over that one, let's keep going. So at one point, it started referencing some information about one of our investigators, one of our friends, family members. It was saying words that she could connect to her family. And so that made her very uncomfortable, which obviously, yeah, that's uncomfortable.
It's important to note here that it's not just like, oh, this could do it. It's in succession.
Yes. Yeah.
It's all but saying the phrase. And that feels a lot different than name begins with J.
Yes, agreed.
Or like a person's like favorite color, where it's like it could be about them versus very specific data. That's very different.
It is.
What we were experiencing was specific data.
Mm-hmm. I feel like it was going up to each of us one by one and trying to find our buttons.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it picked one of us first and then continued to move on.
Yes, yes.
And then the next target for whatever this was Lindsay.
So when this happened, we're standing out front and the Poulter script was doing this thing where it kept saying states. And it seemed as though when it was mentioning a car and then it said a state right after, and I was like, oh my gosh, I wonder if that's on the license plate. So I was like, Ben, go look. So then Ben's running down the street to like chase this car. We're all laughing. We're having a good time. Things are light and breezy and we feel good. I don't feel any sinister stuff.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the reasons that it caught me off guard so much, because everything came through on the Poulter script, which was what I was holding.
it gave incredibly specific references to a traumatic part of my life that a lot of my PTSD is centered around. And it gave names. It gave ages. It was specific and it felt personal. I was having like this lovely time. And then I spent the next half hour trying to not have a PTSD episode. I was so caught off guard by it that my brain wasn't prepared to be triggered in that way. It was just so strange and so specific. So the tone immediately changed for me. And in that moment, I was like, oh, this feels dark. But it felt so incongruent to the mood that we were in when that happened.
Yes.
And from that point on, I feel like the experiences that I was having felt really different from everybody else. So we go into the next part. I'm on my phone trying to like look up things about that picture. Like I'm researching earrings. I'm like, I do not want to bring this to the group's attention, like how I'm feeling emotionally right now. I just like it doesn't feel like it's a good idea. It doesn't feel like I want to. We also had a live stream going, but I'm on my phone and I'm doing that. And I am actively thinking to myself that that was a purposeful action on whatever entity's part to get this response out of me. And, you know, I did what I do when I'm in that moment and trying to like be fine. And I'm like, okay, I am in the here and now. I am not in this situation. I am not threatened. I am okay. I'm giving myself Reiki. I'm like working through it. Part of how I experience that is that I feel like just an incredible sadness, right? And I remember thinking, I'm going to breathe in. And when I breathe out, I'm going to breathe out this sadness. And I do that. And I kid you fucking not. Literally, the breath leaves my mouth. And two people are like, I just feel this overwhelming sadness right now. I just want to cry. I feel so sad right now. And everybody's kind of noting like how it feels heavier and darker. And it's truly like, I'm like, I'm going to exhale out sadness and then I'm going to move on because this is a temporary feeling. I wasn't talking about it before, so I certainly wasn't going to be like, sorry, I don't know what the fuck just happened. It was so bizarre and I had never experienced anything quite like that. So I even wrote down, I was like, okay, I'm feeling really sad. I'm going to breathe this out. It's going to be fine. And then I wrote, everyone now begins to feel sad immediately after. Like, I'm like, that's fucking weird. And what they were talking about wasn't necessarily a cheery thing that was going on. So it's not that it couldn't have been related to what was like generally going on. It was just second to second match.
Interesting.
And I remember in that moment, I was like, just like blinking, just wildly uncomfortable with that experience of it. I was just kind of like chilling and vibing at that moment because I stayed quiet for a little bit because I was like, I kind of know what they're talking about. So I don't want to jump in with questions they've already asked. But yeah, that was bizarre.
Hey, at least it worked.
I mean, I guess, but I don't like, I don't want to like push it onto other people if it did. I'm glad I was able to effectively handle my emotions and being able to like stay out of a PTSD episode. But it was jarring to see like I'm figuring my shit out. A ghost is making people sad. Who the fuck knows? But it was just so surreal.
Yeah, that's interesting. And it's not like you shared that during the investigation either. It was after.
Yeah. Yeah. When Lexi sent us her audio clip about how, you know, she experienced everything, one of the things that she included was how she felt in this moment.
And I remember three of us becoming super overwhelmed, and it was Eni, me, and Amanda. And I remember just being like, oh my God, I feel like I'm going to start bawling, and that's not who I usually am at all in terms of like feelings like that. I usually can kind of like cover things or stuff things down or whatever you want to say, but I was just so overwhelmed with emotion, and I just started bawling, covering my face, sobbing. And I just remember saying, I'm sorry you feel so sad.
So we continued on, but we were not sharing with each other as it was picking on us, which I think now that I look at it, we probably should have. But we were all trying to be like, we're not going to let it get to us, which is good because we don't want it to. But I think had we known, we probably would have been like a united front instead of each of us trying to like defend ourselves.
Yeah. It picked incredibly personal things for everybody.
It did.
And I wasn't comfortable saying what was going on with me because there was a live stream going on. And I simply was not going to like put that out there in that moment. Yeah. Because I bring this up not to be like, this is entertainment, but to bring it up as my experience. And it felt like if I was bringing it up in that moment, it felt more like I was entertaining people with my trauma. And that's not something I ever want to do. And I think that in the future, probably have live streams. We just need to figure out a way to like communicate. We need a moment off camera.
Yeah, like a pause. And we don't know what's going to come of it either.
Mm-hmm, exactly. We need to figure out how to communicate that so we can figure out like where's our limit.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. Because I think we were united and then it was just like, yeah, picking us off one by one kind of. Mm-hmm. And also, I will say that next time, like we're learning, right? Like this is a learning experience as a group that we've been investigating with. And it's going to be different with every group you go with, no matter what you're investigating. If it's a public tour, if it's with friends, there's always going to be differences because I investigate all the time, but it never seems to be as heavy as with a bunch of people that are sensitive, right?
Yeah. We're fishing with sonar.
Yes. And we brought it up and then we just didn't listen to ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
But when we were at Villisca, we said, we're not going to have a really long day in a busy day before and during the investigation because it drains us. And then we're not as strong later. And we did not listen to our own advice. And that day we had a very busy day and we were out in the sun all day. So I think on top of it being an asshole, we were also mentally and physically spent. So we weren't as strong as we should have been to be like, get the fuck out. And we did, like, we did defend ourselves a couple times, but I feel like our energy just wasn't top notch at that moment.
I feel like our energy wasn't top notch, but I do think that because I was exhausted, I picked up on intricacies and energies in a different way. I felt like there was times when I was more tuned in because I was simply too exhausted to not. A good example is like the end. And the way that I felt at the end, and we'll talk about that when we get to our end impressions in like literally just a second. But I felt like I was able to just appreciate it differently because of that exhaustion, because I didn't have the mental fortitude. And that's not great.
Right. Exactly. And so, yeah, let's talk about the end. So it's been picking on us all night, little by little by little, and kind of chipping us away. And we were like, okay, let's do another Estes method. And I went outside with, I think, Scott and Ben. That's the first time Scott went outside as well, that I remember at least. And they're doing the Estes method. And I'm just have my Necrometer app open. And I'm hearing like some of the answers coming through and everything seems okay. And then it says a very specific description, I'll say, because I'm not going to get as personal, like Lindsay also did not. But it said a certain word that is connected to a family member. And I was like, that's interesting, but that could also just be nothing. You know, like I'm not gonna think it. I'm just gonna be like, off limits is what I said in my head. Off limits. That's an off limits topic. And then it said another word. And I was like, off limits, fuck you. Off limits. And then it said a name of the individual that everything is connected to. And that's when I said, I'm done. Fuck you, I'm done. And walked in and like I was so mad that it said the off limits word.
Yes.
And I'm mad at myself, too, in a way for thinking the word, because I know that that could like put it out into the universe. But I was like, that's off limits. I don't care what you say, but that's off limits. And so at that moment, I was like, I'm done. And everyone was super supportive and was like, yeah, you know what? We're all done because it's been an asshole all night and it doesn't get any more of our time. So we ended the investigation kind of suddenly. But I think it did not deserve any more of our time either. And I was upset that it said it.
I agree.
I was like, I'm done. Everyone's done. It's been an asshole. I knew that it had gotten to Lindsay a little bit, but I didn't know specifics because, of course, we were on camera. I knew something, but not specifics. And later I was like, God damn it. I would have fought the thing.
Right before this experience that you had, we had audio of me during my Estes session so I could match it up with the questions they were asking outside when we were looking at it. And several times, Amanda, Scott, and Ben said, we're not talking about other things. What Amanda said is literally, we are going to speak about this particular plot of land and who moves these toys. Who is it that moves the toys in the room in front of me? She recalibrated. And in that same moment, Ben and Scott also, they echoed that sentiment. And they even did it before that as well. The way that my Estes session starts is, hi, fuck you, him. Fuck Billy. Is it blood? And immediately outside, they're like, no. We're not doing this. My Estes method starts off in like a shitty way.
Yeah.
It just continues on, which again, we're going to play it after our outro, but it continues on. And Amanda's like, no. I mean, like very strongly, we're not doing this. We're not having it.
And it continues on despite this. And I think that it was always going to come to a head in that way, where that was where we were going to end up. I know that we ended on this moment. You were so rightfully in a moment of abso-fucking-lutely not, we're done. What was your general impression at the end of it?
I was just furious. Mm-hmm. I was so mad that it took something that was, I mean, it's not always going to be joyful.
Yeah.
But it was a learning, right? Like,
not everything's going to be hide and seek with little kids. We had the lighthouse the night before.
And going from that.
Yeah.
And it's not necessarily, yeah, that it wasn't like fun and childlike. It was more, you were taking away the joy that we had as well and our security. And it was just trying to fuck with us. And I was so mad at the end. And afterwards, we all walked around for a little bit just to like get to a different vibe and like feel a little bit better. We got some food. And then Lindsay and I stayed up till what, like 7 or 8 a.m. just talking about it and how mad we were that it got to us.
Whenever you listen to the audio of any of our stuff, and if you listen to this, you will know that I'm chronically unserious. That if I'm going to do anything, I'm going to lighten the mood. I'm a little goof.
Yeah.
And that stopped a lot once I had my experience, which was relatively early on. It was like, no, you're not going to lighten this, sweetheart. I'm the goofy one. I say that with so much love for everybody who was there with us. Amanda's the most like authoritative person in the room, in my opinion. So I felt like it was like, you think you're the strong one? Watch me make you break. You think you're the funny one? Watch me make you cry. I know the difference between when I have a PTSD episode and I know when I don't, and I didn't. So I don't liken any of this to that, because as the night goes on, I get this gut feeling that we're being lied to.
Yes. And she shared that with us at our middle of the night snack.
And I shared it with Ben during the middle of it. I whispered to him, I was like, I feel like I'm being fucking lied to. And I felt like mad about it. Mm-hmm. As the night goes on, that quiet rage builds and builds and builds and builds. By the time that all is said and done, we're packing up and I'm getting angrier. And like, I am mad on behalf of Amanda. Like, I absolutely am. I'm like, absolutely not. We're not doing that. But this didn't feel like that. In that, this didn't feel like my anger.
Interesting.
It felt like I was wearing somebody else's coat. That's the way that I describe feeling something else's emotions. Like, that's what it felt like. I felt it so much that, you know, like when you wear somebody else's coat, you still feel warm.
Yeah.
I felt like the residual anger. And I can acknowledge that some of that is mine, some of it's not. But the distinct impression of being lied to feels so strong, like so strong that I can't stop thinking about it. I've never had such a specific impression after a paranormal experience of like, you know, I felt like mad or happy or scared or sad or like joy because we played hide and seek with ghosts, or highly unsettled because I got pushed by a ghost, right? Like, I felt those kinds of things, but I've never felt something so honed in. Like, I feel like I'm being lied to in some big, important, fundamental way.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a strange, strange investigation for sure.
Yes.
And at the end, yeah, I think like I was so mad and I wanted it to know, like, yeah, you got to me, sure, but you still don't win. Like, I'm still not afraid of you. I'm mad at you.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like, it's not fear. It's I'm taking this away from you. I'm taking your way of speaking to us and fucking with us by leaving.
Yeah. Speaking to me is a privilege. You just lost that privilege.
Yeah.
Which also, I would so thoroughly suggest that everyone remember that speaking to you is a privilege and that people earn that privilege by how they treat you. And you can revoke that privilege at any time unless you are their caregiver. Then you can't do that. Like, if your kid's a dick, you can't be like, fuck you, I'm not talking to you. But if somebody else in your life who is an adult is an asshole to you, you get to revoke that fucking privilege, whether it's a ghost or a person ghost. You get to do it all. Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. We turned everything off and we're like, done. Sorry, others who were here, but they ruined it.
Yeah. They ruined it for everyone.
Mm-hmm. But like the area, for sure, to wrap it up a little. I think there's stuff there. Obviously, it's St. Augustine. There's stuff there. There's stuff fucking everywhere. That back courtyard is fucked. I hate it. I hate everything about it. So sorry to the people that have an Airbnb back there. Like, not my thing. Never.
Nah.
And then, yeah, like, I feel like there's something in, I don't know, I'm going to call it like the schoolroom, right? Mm-hmm. Like the schoolroom area. There's something, I don't think that that necessarily is the bad thing there. I think there's stuff there. But that fucked up thing, I think, was just in the town and decided, hey, I can fuck with these people. I don't think it lives there. Whatever's in the bathroom, though, I don't know. I don't even think we spoke with whatever that is.
Mm-mm, no.
Whatever's in that area. It just stood and watched, in a way, is like the feeling I get.
I think it stood in just eeriness. It was unsettling. I think that the worst of it was passing through. Alternatively, whatever was making me have that very particular feeling of being lied to, I think is tied to something about that building or something having to do with that building, and that there is some very real truth that is not shared.
Yeah, a secret of sorts.
A secret of sorts. And I say that because if you remember our Casadega episode and our Lighthouse episode, we talked about two different interactions where we had someone say, the truth will be revealed, da, 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 right? And for the next night, from when I'm not even thinking of that, to have this just gut knowing that I'm being lied to and that there's like lies, like big, painful, real lies. My impression of it stuck with the building and such. It wasn't like, I feel like everyone's lying to me. It was like, I feel like the building and such, it has to do with that.
Yeah. And like we said before, Lexi sent us something that really went over her perspective of the night. So we're just going to play the rest of hers now. We have broken some of it up, but everything left over, we're going
to
play.
But I remember y'all went outside to do the questions, and I was texting Lindsay's answers. And I remember just kind of feeling unnerved and watched and not. Again, I couldn't make sense of, obviously, the answers that she was saying because I didn't know what the questions were, but I didn't like it. And then I remember kind of faintly hearing Ben's voice being like, no, and maybe something along the lines of like, we're done, like this is, we're done. And y'all came back inside and I kind of tapped Lindsay to be like, all right, we're done, we're tapped out, we're done. When she was coming out, she looked at Amanda and was like, oh, what's wrong? Because she could tell something was off. And it's one of those things I remember Amanda saying that, like, you're okay till somebody asks if you're okay. She just started bawling. I don't want to, you know, it didn't happen to me. And obviously this is y'all's podcast. I'm sure you've talked about it or will be talking about it. But more or less, whatever this dark entity thing is, went after Amanda in the lowest way possible, and that was when we called it, we're done. And I just remember being like, it was because she was the one to kind of like stand up to it and kind of like provide that calming presence, again, not in a negative way towards any of us, but that thing probably didn't like that. So it's kind of like, okay, you are the one that I'm going to try to break down. And so finally we were just like, we're done. We're not doing this anymore. You're not welcome to speak to us this way, kind of thing. And we left. But I remember still having all that like antsy energy because it was just so anxiety inducing and so scary that we ended up walking around downtown St. Augustine just to like kind of walk it off, kind of thing. And then we went, you know, to Waffle House for a little bit again just to kind of like blow off steam and talk about it. I don't know what these things are. They're certainly not a human spirit. I don't think it's the same thing as Velisca. I think they're the same thing. And I think it just kind of, again, was trying to see what would stick and saying stuff. And once it started figuring out, you know, and even I think Eni was the one that said that the spirit will gossip. So like maybe it's heard what we had gone through before and was trying to like create that same fear in us that we had in Velisca to feed off of it. Don't know, and I don't know if it's something that haunts there all the time, or maybe it was something that followed us in, maybe from the fort, because I know they hadn't described anything like that, feeling that darkness in that building, so I don't know. But I guess we will just see the more we review the videos and recordings and such going forward and all of our future trips together.
And then here's Ben's end of the night thoughts.
I think that at first when we did get a feeling of a presence, it was that of children or younger individuals, something that not so much mischievous or anything like that, but just kind of a little kid behavior type of vibe. And then as it, I said, got later, it got a little bit darker in how it felt. I did participate in doing the Estes method, sitting outside, and the responses I was getting were a little interesting and odd. Of course, doing that outside and separated from the group, a lot of what I was saying out loud didn't make a lot of sense to me. At one point, I was being drawn to go outside in the back of the treasure chest. There was a little patio, courtyard type of space that was pretty dark out there. And there was something that kept pulling me out there that I felt. It kept trying to pull me out there. And I started wandering out there a few times. And eventually I had to stop myself and say, no, we're not going out here. Something out here doesn't feel quite right. I believe someone else in our group felt the same, but I can't remember who that was. But we both in the backyard did not have good feelings and stopped going back there and kept ourselves to either the side of the building, like near where the restroom was or right by the back door, or in the treasure chest specifically. So yeah, and what started out as a why are we here, I don't feel anything kind of situation turned to a I feel uncomfy and I don't know about this and I am certainly ready to go home, or to our Airbnb, as it were.
Nine.
So this episode specifically is a little different. Like we got to chat a little bit about it, but we would love your feedback on that too. Do you like the organized investigations where it's step by step, or do you like the more back and forth of like our feelings and thoughts of the investigation as it kind of comes up?
Yeah.
Just interested, because this is much different than our typical episodes.
Yeah. You can like shoot us a message on any social media or send us an email about it. We would appreciate that. Whether it's good or bad feedback, because we went back and forth on whether to do an episode on this because it wasn't such a clear narrative of like how things were and what the story is. So that would be very helpful.
Yeah, but we can't control also what's going to happen. Sometimes it's like a grab bag of nonsense, and then sometimes it's playing hide and seek with children. So
yeah, depending on how that goes, it might change how we decide to have episodes on things in the future. If we have a situation where we've talked about doing an investigation, but there simply wasn't anything that was like a narrative, or it's like, you know, a more like, here's how we'll share it, like the Lighthouse or Villisca, for example. And that means, well, we might not do episodes on them. Which means that the only people who are going to possibly see a live stream are our patrons. So just an important note there. So this was just one of three investigations that we did in St. Augustine. We will have at least one more episode coming up, but we are banging and clanging our way through what feels like millions of hours of footage and audio and cell phone videos and
pictures. And
the one that we're looking, yes, and pictures. And the one that we're looking up now, we are doing frame by frame, but also comparing times, because we have footage from different rooms at the same time. So it takes a little bit longer.
Yes.
And we mentioned to our Patreons a little special boost that they get by seeing live streams. But we just want to thank you again for making this show possible. Not only do you make our regular episodes possible, but you've made it possible for us to investigate some of the places that we've talked about. We absolutely love sharing it with you. And we appreciate you so, so much. And we are just so excited to continue hanging out with you in our Discord and all the things. But thank you, thank you, thank you.
Yes, thank you, thank you. And we're already discussing with our group what's next and where we're going next year.
Well, with that, have a great weekend.
Thanks for creeping with us.
Thanks for listening. And as always, a special thank you to our patrons who support us via Patreon.
Please see the link in our show notes to learn more about how you, yes, you, can begin to haunt the dump, guard vortexes, or even become a scorching Sasquatch.
Ooh. Also in our show notes, you can find the link to our website, More information on our sources, our social media handles, and our merch store.
We'd love for you to keep creeping with us. So if you like this episode, please subscribe, rate, review, and share the show with your fellow creeps and or ghosts.
I beg of you.
Hey, sweet cheeks. It's me, Ursula. I'm here to introduce the Estes sessions. First up is Lexi.
Hello, Scott. Yes. It was like dead silent and then just like, wah, and it like startled me. Please, please stop, Emma. Mentally, it was, there's just like a lot of voices like going around. Alone, you're lying. What? Sure, you look. Emily? Wish. Your son? Is that Scott? Emily. Run. Prison. Do you want that? Help. Ray. Me. I'm not a whisper. No. Oh, it's like silent because it'll go through like periods where it's like just quiet, like nothing. And then all of a sudden it's just like like multiple. Yeah.
Okay.
And like talking at one time. And so it was getting very hard to pick things out. But multiple times I heard like Emma or like Emily and like Ray or like, I only said it the one time, but I heard it like another time. It was like hard to pick out. I was like, did I hear them say Ray? I heard like Ray, but it was like Ray and like
Joe Ray.
Yeah, maybe.
I'm back, baby. Here's Ben's ST's session.
Hello? Yes? That's impossible. Happy or help me. What? There's a lot of whispering. Help. Could be. He hates himself. Lock the door. I'm not going to stop. Does he suspect? It sounded like they said contour, but it was like in a question. Body position. Stop. Nope.
Shh. Please.
I want this. God. Take it. Take him. Money. Dreams. It's great. That was very clear. Figure something out. Murdered. I am good. I'm helping you. No. No. There's just a lot that came through that I couldn't really understand. There's like a growl. Think. Forehead. Breathe. Help. Are you looking for me? We're here. You people, tell me about. Are you here? You're cute. Tickle. Sleep. This one? Okay. Snatch. Ow. Outside. Dad. I'll break. I'm not. You'll look. Lexi, look. Eeny. Is this? Benji. Dreams whispering. Be cool. Looking. For me. Lexi back. Here. They will never let us be together. Live here or leave here.
I know you missed me, darling. Lastly, here's Lindsay's Estes session.
Hi. Fuck you. Tim. Fuck. Billy. Is it? Blood. Boy. You whispered. 350. Us whispered. And then us whispered again, but with this. You've been to the railroad. I'm waiting for you. Believe. Don't. In different voice. Whispered. Unintelligible. Back. Me. I'm going to pause it really quick. I couldn't hear what it said, but it was like in the cadence of an old timey like revival preacher. Do you know what I mean? Like that was like the tone of it, and it did it twice. And after I said, I'm going to pause it, I clicked stop and it kept going and it did it again, but I couldn't understand the words. I don't know how you write that. It's probably not an answer to any question, but so I'm saying it aloud and for this. Yeah. Yeah, perfect. Hi, whispered. I'm sitting. One. Hello. Awkward. I'm sitting with spirits. Benjamin's looking, and he was looking at me. Look. And he was looking at me again when I said, look. He's going to come. And it's whispered. I will, whispered. She. Lindsay, he's coming. Everybody. Night. Time. Benjamin's. I felt. Leave. And then no. Somebody else's voice. This could be the same person. It's the same person. The name. Listen. Same. Say his name. Up. On. Name. The name. Different voice. Pure. Blood. I get. They're on me. They're part of us. But it's different voices each time. Like, they are us, but like, each word's a different voice. Silence. I'm fine, whispered in. Like, I'm fine. Yeah. Bridge. Thinking of a... And then it's like thermos or like thermostat. Jewels. Velvet. Moaning. And then it said, you're welcome. You heard me say. I want to win. Lindsay. Listening. Silence. All of them. Very clear, though. Listen. In your own way, use the... And then dead silence. Kitchen. Ghost.